KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Soma in San Francisco.
Elmwood.
El Sobrano.
Do you live in Richmond?
Yeah.
Albany Village.
Panoramic in Berkeley.
Berkeley, California.
Coming up, we'll learn how the San Francisco Unified School District is motivating educators in Bayview to get them to stick around for the kids.
We're going to ask you to tap into their spirits, to spark something great into them. We need to make sure it sparks into you.
Then we'll catch up with one of the founders of the world-famous hip-hop collective Hieroglyphics as they prepare to rock their hometown of Oakland on Labor Day.
I think we were received well because we represent a section of the population that is a huge swath of the population. It's like imagination rap, you know? I think it's understood that when we get on the microphone, it's to create something different.
Stay tuned. Cross Currents is coming up. Teaching can be tough, especially for those working in schools where families are scraping by, where lots of kids face challenges at home and in the community, where they often score low on standardized tests. Add to that isolation and high staff turnover. That's been a problem in San Francisco public schools in the city's Bayview district. But SFUSD administrators have been working hard to stabilize the workforce, and it seems to be working. KALW's education reporter Lee Romney brings us that story.
Well, welcome to Bayview Ignite 2018. We're doing it again.
About 100 educators from the Bayview and one Potrero Hill Elementary School are mingling at the second annual pep rally and training called Bayview Ignite.
Well, we wanted to hit you first because we wanted to make sure that you all felt welcome, that you were comfortable, and knew that you were teaching and working in the most fabulous schools at SFUSD. So a lot of love has gone into
the Joining the teachers here are after-school staff, nurses, literacy coaches. Everyone who's worked in these schools knows the lift can be heavy.
And plus some of the kids that in the neighborhood, some of them suffer from PTSD, like trauma situations, early age, you know, like death, violence.
Gerald Robinson Jr. works security at Dr. Charles Drew Elementary School, and he's seen how hard it is for some families to just get by. But Bayview Ignite's goal is to unite educators around the kids' resilience and potential. Demetrius Rice Mitchell is director of this group of schools. She teamed up 3 years ago with her boss, Assistant Superintendent Anikia Ford-Morthel. They learned that educators here felt siloed and whiplashed by all the changes.
Let's try this plan, or let's try this, or let's reconfigure it this way. And that kind of leads to fatigue.
Ford-Morthel says the pair realized that to keep teachers and staff coming back every day and working as a team, they needed to steep them in the neighborhood's broader story.
What are all the things that are positive and beautiful, and how do you get up every day and show up for the babies, and how do you also acknowledge all that they come with?
Like the trauma that not all but some of these kids experience.
The history and the culture of the babies that we see is one of resilience, right. Is one of overcoming, is one of just so much amazing, and so how do we bring that in and welcome the babies with that perspective versus the deficit, oh, pobrecito.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That's
what. Good morning.
Good morning.
The assistant superintendent can really fire up a crowd. She knows from personal experience that kids of color born to low-income families don't often hear a positive narrative.
But rather stories that say that everything you want to be high in, we low in. And everything you want to be low in, you're high in. Despite folks who work really, really hard, and at some point, I started to wonder, what the hell is wrong with me?
The district's decided to give all the Bayview schools here some extra support, and that's in part because of the low student test scores, especially for Black kids. But it's not just about reading or math or critical thinking.
But I also need you to ground yourselves in the history of the people that they come from, so that when they're feeling down, when their scores didn't go up, you can say, lift that head up. Do you know who you are? Do you know where you're going to be? We're going to ask you to tap into their spirits, to spark something great into them. We need to make sure it sparks into you.
That's important because teacher retention in Bayview schools has also been the worst in the district.
So each of you guys was given a thread. You got a thread, hold it up.
A colored thread. Participants fan out. They're supposed to think about why they do the work they do, find others who are like-minded, and tie their threads together.
My why is community.
Better world, potential, caring.
Better future.
Okay, get a tie.
Because connection matters. With each other, with the kids, and with the community. and that can take years to develop. Remember Gerald Robinson Jr.? He's been a security guard at Charles Drew Elementary for a decade, and he lives in the neighborhood.
Sometimes I get the uncle role or something like that, you know, somebody close to the family that they can relate to, that they can talk to, that they can open up to, you know, just have some type of relationship. And the biggest thing that the kids need in our community is consistency.
When a district staffer presents the data for the last couple of years, there's actually a lot of good news. Test scores, though they're still low, are rising. And students and teachers think their schools are safer. As for teacher turnover, this fall, it's half of what it was 4 years ago. Assistant Superintendent Anikia Ford-Morthel asks all the returning educators to stand up.
Well, hell, I say we did pretty well.
Some of these schools are starting to feel what that stability could mean.
We've been able to, like, think last year, really think about, like, what is it that our kids need and, like, plan through the summer more. Because normally we're just gearing up new people. This is the first year I've been there that we're, like, had some consistency and could look at our gaps.
That's Kelly Riggs, an instructional coach at Bret Hart Elementary. Her principal's in his fifth year there, which makes him the longest-serving school leader in the Bayview right now. The staff reads books and plans lessons together, and there's some fun stuff.
We took a boat trip out under the Golden Gate Bridge and everything around. Of course, happy hours, because we're teachers.
They only lost one classroom teacher at the end of last year.
Oh, nice to meet you as well.
There are some newbies, and the second day of Bayview Ignite is pretty much aimed at them. It's also a refresher for those who are coming back. I meet up with a group of teachers, some veterans, some newer, near the T-line to go on a scavenger hunt in the heart of the Bayview.
I'm Karina Garcia, and I'll be the kindergarten teacher at Carver Elementary. And I just moved here on Sunday, I'm brand new to San Francisco.
She's only taught for 1 year, but the East LA native came here specifically to work with Bayview kids.
Almost everything I went to school for in terms of social justice and trying to work in a community like this, disrupting the narrative about black and brown kids, it's all manifesting now in this school, in this community, and I'm so happy to be here.
Her group gets going, snapping selfies and checking off their list. There's Auntie April's Chicken and Waffles, the Joseph Lee Rec Center, and the historic Bayview Opera House, now a community cultural and arts center.
Did you guys do the literacy festival here?
No, last year, right? It was a K-1.
It was really good here.
So we did that, obviously.
They go into a tutoring center in a converted Edwardian house.
100% college prep, which they said they don't know much about. College. Learn right now.
This is a community center.
The staff welcomes the group.
We do historical black college tours, we do local college tours.
When the teachers introduce themselves...
But I'm going to be coming to find y'all, don't worry.
Karina Garcia, the new kindergarten teacher, is thrilled, too, with the whole event. You might even call her ignited.
I feel already so much more prepared for this school year than I did last year. I really like how collaborative it is. It's almost like a big family, and I just started yesterday with them.
SFUSD school started on August 20th, and district staff who put on Bayview Ignite hope the extra camaraderie and support might just help teachers like her stick around for a while. For Cross Currents, I'm Lee Romney in San Francisco.
Lee is going to be spending this year exploring the experiences of African-American kids and families in San Francisco schools. To share your story or even one from a couple of years back, get in touch with her at education@klw.org. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Now we're headed to Oakland. For the past 25 years, the town's Hieroglyphics crew has been a staple in the Bay Area underground hip-hop scene. One of the collective's founding members, Tajay Massey, and his group Souls of Mischief became household names with their classic hit, 93 Till Infinity. In this edition of Bay Area Beats, Tajay talks about juggling his careers in music and architecture, as well as the importance of this weekend's Hiero Day Festival, which has quickly become an Oakland tradition.
Yo, what's up? This is Tajay of the Mighty Souls of Mischief crew. I'm chilling with my man Festo, my man A-Plus, and my man Oak. You know, he's dope. And right now, you know, we're just maxing in the studio. We're hailing from East Oakland, California, and sometimes it gets a little hectic out there. But right now, you know, we're going to up you on how we just chill.
Peace. My name is Tajay. I'm from a crew called Hieroglyphics. We're a collective out of East Oakland, California. Been together, 30 plus years as friends and as professional musicians. I'm in a group called Souls of Mischief. In 1993, we dropped our first album called 93 Till Infinity, which is what probably I'm best known for.
Do the cool spots where crews flock to snare at them, or see where the shit that's flambing, plan me, not as poppin'. So I got tens of in the dough and go to the open basement. My ace has been fattening up tracks. Time to get prolific with the wind.
I think that as a young rapper coming up, or as a young human being coming up, you need role models and people literally who look like you. Unfortunately, we're beings that sort of attach ourselves to symbolic systems. And I don't think it's bad to see your heroes and people who look like you. It's understandable. It's the most relatable, right? So for me, rap, I've been rapping since 1983. And so, or 1982. And to see rap as something coming from the outside, you know, all the rap we heard really was from New York. Until Too Short, you know? And then once we heard Too Short, we were like, oh, he's from Oakland and he raps.
So much game in a Too Short rap. Can't be white and whites can't be black. Why you wanna act like someone else? All you gotta do is just be yourself. We're all the same color underneath. Short dog is in the house, you better listen to me.
When I saw him at the Coliseum, I think it was Run DMC or LL show, Slick Rick, you know, one of those mega shows, full packed. And there was some violence going on in the crowd, and he came out way before I think he was supposed to perform and stopped it. I think it was in the middle of Slick Rick's show, and it was like, they fighting, dog, hold up. And Short came out and quelled that. And I think, to me, not only seeing Too Short as somebody who I could relate to as a person from Oakland, and then also to see him use that power to wield over tens of thousands of people to be about peace, It struck me as, okay, MCing is bigger than just rocking the show. It's about mic control and mastering the ceremony, you know? And it had a profound effect on me. It made me want to be an MC, and not for the reason of power, but for the reason of making a difference in the world.
I always tell the truth about things like this. I wonder if the mayor overlooked that list. Instead of adding to the task force, send some help. Waiting on him, I better help myself. Housing Authority and the OPD. All these guns just to handle me.
Hiero is a family of childhood friends, man. We've known each other since, the 80s, maybe 80. And we've been growing up immersed in hip hop, immersed in indie culture, immersed in all the stuff that the Bay Area has to offer. And we came out as a hip hop crew. But we're into a lot of stuff, art, you know what I'm saying, fashion, design, all those things as well. I feel like when your crew is like ours, where it's all formidable artists in their own right, who drop solo records too, it has a different feel a lot of times than, say, like a super group. And also, we came up together, so it's not like we were built or put together, or we met these guys due to rap skills, you know what I'm saying, though? I thought the crew was like a part of what it was. And hip-hop is a community thing. I think crew is important. Down, I mean, from the person who carries the crates to the person whose name is on the marquee.
Yo, the jam was fly. Oh my, now it's over. My batch of pals consultage. They must catch a taxi cab. Dagnab, why they leave me? Stuck in the late night app. Cali's not so hot that everyone should be sweating. Yet nobody's smiling. Plus,
when we all dropped, you know, there's, I think, a large eye was being focused on the Bay Area because there were hits being made by Too Short, by Spice One. You know what I'm saying? They're like, national type hits. So I think a lot of stuff was getting signed and pumped out of the Bay Area in, you know, the 90 to 94 era, as far as when they were signing people. And I think we were received well because we represent a section of the population that is a huge swath of the population. It's like regular dude rap, you know, and imagination rap, you know. I think it's understood that when we get on the microphone, it's to create something different, not necessarily reality rap. And I think that was different from a lot of our counterparts from here, but very kindred to a huge part of the population, both here and worldwide.
Message recorded, lessons restored. This mental porridge, like lentil porridge. Nasty, nasty, be the last G. Grammatical text to class me, ask me. If I had to grip my pad, the riffs I grab.
You can be not just this super masculine, super brolic, hard MC. It's like, oh, you can be a full-blown weirdo and still have bars, you know? And I think we made it so it's like, oh yeah, and you can be a regular dude. You know what I'm saying, though? Dressing your little polo and, you know, looking like you just hopping off the bus from school and have bars, too. So that's, I think, how we were accepted.
Man gets spindle swivel pivoted by my riveting centrifuges. I'm 20 link rules, bringing a fist of rules. Pulverizing skulls, annihilating trifling dunces.
Being fresh out of high school, I mean, your world is filled with possibilities. So it wasn't like this was something crazy that we were doing. It was just what we were doing. This is what we do as adults. Now I'm a rapper. Now I do this, you know? And I mean, my family made sure that, you know, I took my money and put it towards school and all that. But at the time, it was like, hey, now I'm a rapper. I'm also an architectural designer in my day-to-day. So I went to Stanford for undergrad and Cal for architectural school. But I got into, you know, Yale, Princeton, Harvard, UCLA. I didn't apply to Cal because I didn't want to be local. But the Stanford letter, when it came, I put that on the mantle. You know, my mom put it on the mantle. She didn't even say nothing about it. I saw it like a few hours later. When I saw it, I'm like, oh, it's over, you know? And I think that came maybe a month or so before I got signed, you know what I mean? So it was like a lot going on at that time.
I wish that I can have bliss daily. Lately, I've tried to speak my peaceful words and fail me. I'm dwelling in the halls of appalling sights of evil. I got to sweat the devil.
You know, I had like a super crazy mom, you know, like, now I don't mean crazy in a bad, I mean the best type of good crazy that you have. Like, you know, when we got Disney books, she colored the kids, the people brown in the Disney books. You see what I'm saying, though? She was like, she's a psychologist, so she has a lot deeper understanding, especially then, before all this information was out, she had a lot deeper understanding of the pitfalls that exist in this system. For everybody, but especially for a young black man in Oakland. So it was a program at my house. I mean, you know, low grades weren't accepted. You know, disrespect wasn't accepted. The curfews were respected. I think really the fear of letting down my mother and my ancestors is way stronger than my fear of some dude thinking that I'm not cool because I don't want to do what he's doing. It had already been instilled in me that it's important to represent positivity in my ancestors and my family in a way, and that I've been bestowed with certain gifts and privileges in life that if I don't use them for that, then it's an affront to those same people. You know, I mean, there are a lot of people that may not have all the advantages and all the things that I've received in life, and I can see the decisions they made being based on that. But for me, I can't. There's no excuse.
Don't try to bust me. Trust the fact that I'm friendly and you're fussy. That I love humans, they hate me. I love to live and let live, but no one's deep.
When I think about my ancestors and the hardships they face, and all I gotta do is ace these tests and bust some raps, come on. You know, like, my life is easy. I'm talking about to this day. I have, you know, exceptional obstacles that I have to overcome currently. However, when you think about the fact that it's like, I get paid to travel the world and have a party every night if I wanted to. I've got kids, so it's not like that, but every night if I wanted to. And I get paid to design beautiful homes and schools and restaurants for people that I love. Like, hard, you know what I mean? Like, hard is not, it's people's lives are harder than that every day right outside of this building. So it was very hard in hindsight. Internet wasn't out, so I was faxing my homework in from tour. But, and I would do it again. I went to grad school now. You know, I just graduated from grad school in 2014 with a family and a career and all that. And that was exceedingly hard too, but these are the, not even sacrifices, these are the opportunities that you have to take advantage of in order to get to the level in life where you
are one of those ancestors that somebody wants to make proud. Jairo, I think a fan, and I wish I knew his name or her name, said, hey, 9-3 should be Jairo Day, like 93, September 3rd. And then we ran with it, and then we're like, we're going to have a block party. Kaz was like, let's do a block party in the town on September 3rd. So the first one we did was on, it was in front of the new parish in Oakland, and it went just crazy. I mean, there were probably 5,000 people. We expected maybe 500, 700 people, but it went crazy, and then it's just grown from there. It started off as a block party to give back, you know, it was free, you know, give back, and it's grown to something where it's like a tradition. And the tradition is something that we'd like to continue. It's been fun to rock. It's fun to showcase all the good stuff in Oakland. We get a lot of bad press, which is crazy because we're as expensive as Hong Kong, fifth most expensive place to live on earth. Like, it can't be the hellhole that everyone explains it to be, you know, it can't be so bad. But this is a day to celebrate all the things that are good. It's important for Jairo to have a connection to the next generation because time, although we cannot see it, is real. And a legacy is real if you create it. But if you don't, time just kicks you behind, you know? And I mean that in a musical sense. Like, if we don't put these young musicians on, they're gonna get on anyways, and you're gonna be a memory. But also mean in a cultural sense. Like, if we don't bring in, and I don't mean bring in like control, but usher in what comes next, we also will be remembered as guys who did not contribute anything but what we did. I think days like Jairo Day, and when you rock a show with your kid, you know, things like that, those are the moments when you reflect like, oh, I've been doing this a while, and these are the fruits of my labor. But for the most part, dude, like, you see where we are, man. It's Dojo. We be in the lab, like, rapping. Like, we still are underground rappers, you know? But I want to keep doing that. I don't want to rest on my laurels because rap, my knees ain't bad. So I don't feel like we have concreted our legacy. Like, even I don't even think we halfway, you know? And I'm not talking about chronologically. I'm just talking about with the things that we're about to do with regard to real estate, with regard to education, with regard to hopefully building a community, et cetera. I think we're like 40% of what our legacy still can be.
You can catch Tajay and the rest of his crew this Monday, September 3rd at the 7th annual Jairo Day in Oakland. Go to kalw.org for all the details. This edition of Bay Area Beats was produced by Bo Walsh. And if you want to share what you just heard, it's easy. Just subscribe to the Cross Currents newsletter and you'll get links to all the stories we air each week. You can pick and choose the ones you like. We know you'll like all of them, though. Go to kalw.org and click Cross Currents. Today's Cross Currents team includes Muna Danish, Janae Darden, Nina Gensler Debs, Nicholas Harder, Mary Franklin Harvin, Sarah Kaust, Marissa Shea, Angela Johnston, Kristen McCandless, Truk Nguyen, Marissa Ortega Welch, Josh Wilson, and Eli Wertschafter. Our engineers are James Rowland and Tarek Foda. Content manager is Shirin Adil. Jen Chien is our managing editor, and our news director is Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.